This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudillala wa man yudlil fala hadiyala. Wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear brothers and sisters, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for bringing us here together. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gather us again in the company of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannatul Firdaus. The topic of tonight's discussion is, let your study be worship. And what we mean by study is the study of Islam, is the study of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His beautiful names, His perfect attributes. That which is compulsory upon us to do in light of us being slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How to perform your salah, how to perform your wudu and your hajj and your umrah, and how to be businessmen in Islam, and how to be with your wives and your husbands and your children. The knowledge of all of these things and more. How do you make the study of all of these things, how do you make it worship? The khutbah that I recited before I started is called khutbatul haja, the khutbah of need, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite before starting his talks and at the beginning of a nikah before the khutbah, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would teach it to others. And the only way that you and I, that we know that this is something which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, is because his companions understood that if the religion of Islam was to be continued and was to carry on from one generation to the next, people would have to study it and teach it to others. People would have to study it and teach it to others. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً, then convey from me, even if it is one verse, only one verse. And today, alhamdulillah, we find ourselves as Muslims living in Sri Lanka or in South Africa or in many other parts of the world. We find ourselves learning much about Islam. We grow up reciting, learning how to recite the Quran. But how many times have we conveyed that to someone else? How many people have you taught Alif, Ba, Ta, and those, you know, that method that you studied the recitation of the Quran through? How many people have you impacted with that knowledge? How many Jumu'ahs do we attend every Friday around the world? And how many of those khutbahs can we take and summarize and go home and tell our wives that today, in that 30 minutes or 20 minutes or 40 minutes, I learnt these four things, and then teach your wives and your children. So the question here is, firstly, how do we encourage ourselves and we motivate ourselves to study the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because the study of the religion is not restricted to the people with big beards. The study of Islam is not restricted to the people that wear turbans. The study of Islam is not restricted to the people whose titles are Sheikh and Mawlana and Imam, and whatever other title is given around the world. It is not restricted to these people. But rather, it is the duty of each and every one of us As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam beautifully tells us that طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. That the seeking of knowledge is compulsory upon every Muslim. Not a Sri Lankan Muslim, not only a South African Muslim, not only a Saudi Muslim, upon every single Muslim, male or female, regardless of their ethnicity, their nationality, or the color or language of their passports. It doesn't matter. We have been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to study and to know our religion. Now, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's very important that sometimes we transport ourselves back to that particular community. I want you all to imagine with me that you are sitting in Masjid Nabawi. And if you have never been there before, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitate for you a trip to Masjid Nabawi inshaAllah. But imagine that 1430 years ago, you were sitting in Masjid Nabawi. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had just prayed the Isha Salah. And after the Salah, he turned around and he spoke for 20 minutes. Imagine that you are in that masjid and you are listening attentively to what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying. With what kind of zeal, motivation would you be sitting? How would you be listening to him? Would you be paying attention? Would you fear that you would miss a single word? All of us would be sitting there with no thought but to try and memorize and understand as much as what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying. And today, we don't have the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amongst us. But what we do have is that we have his life. We have his sunnah. We have his statements. They are there on that shelf over there. You have Riyadu Saliheen and other collections of hadith. Many of you have that at home. You have Bukhari and you have Muslim. Riyadu Saliheen, Bulughul Maram. It's on your shelves. And every time you open it and you read, that is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaking. Or that is a companion telling you that I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do this. I saw him go here. So where is that zeal, that motivation for the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We need to understand that the Prophet encouraged his companions to learn. When a person would accept Islam, did they just say, MashaAllah, marhaban bishaykh, you know, welcome to Islam, and that was the end of it? When Umayr ibn Wahb, radiallahu anhu, when he accepted Islam after the Battle of Badr, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell his companions? He said, عَلِّمُوهُ الْقُرْآنَ. Teach him the Qur'an. What does that mean? He's an Arab. He doesn't need to learn the Arabic language. Teach him the Qur'an. Let him understand the Qur'an. Let him know that which he is reciting. وَفَقِّهُوهُ فِي دِينِهِ. And give him an understanding of his religion. Because it is not enough to read the Qur'an. How many people in our communities have memorized the Qur'an from cover to cover? But yet if you ask them that, oh my dear brother, my dear sister, explain to me what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the surah, how many people would be able to explain that to you? Why? Because they have not been taught and made to understand the book. Many people today, they ask, what is so amazing about this Qur'an? That people in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Arabs, they would hear a few verses and they would accept Islam. Today, if we read Qur'an to the Christians and the Hindus and the Buddhists that live in this country and other countries in the world, and we read the Qur'an to them, would they just accept Islam? MashaAllah, I love this book, and just accept it? That's very rare. The reason for it is because they do not understand it. And the reason why we are not attached to the book is because we don't understand it. But this is a problem. But what is the solution then? The solution to all of these things for us to learn and understand the Qur'an is if you and I dedicate ourselves to the study of this beautiful deen. The study of the Arabic language, wallahi, what a liberating, what an enjoyable study. It is difficult at the beginning. It is difficult, I won't lie to you. But wallahi, the sweetness that you taste and enjoy after you, when you're standing in Taraweeh, or the Imam is leading the Isha Salah, and he reads the Quran, يَا أَيُّوَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِي يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ فَاسْعُوا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ Ya Allah, so beautiful. Oh, you who believe, when the call to pray is given on the day of Jumu'ah, فَاسْعَوْا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say, come to the prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, go quickly, hasten to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the khutbah and the salah. Now when you understand this, when you understand the language, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to you and me, oh you who believe, of course there's going to be a change. Of course we are going to be, you know, motivated. We are going to do. We're not going to say, you know, as we normally say, Alhamdulillah, we leave that to the ulama. The ulama, they are in our community to teach us, to guide us, to help us with the difficult decisions that need to be made in our communities. They are not, wallahi, I'm going to say this as frankly as possible. The ulama are not in the community to teach the people alif and ba and ta and tha. But rather the ulama are in the community to assist the Muslims with the really difficult issues. Because they are basics and then there are advanced issues that we require the ulama for. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and after this, you found that the Bedouins, they had a very strong knowledge of the Quran and of the Sunnah. Because at that time, that was what was understood. That was what was expected from you and me. Today we don't have the same standards. We don't have them. So how do we get ourselves to that particular stage? Firstly, if we are going to make our study of Islam worship, we must then understand what worship is. What is ibadah? What is this ibadah, the servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If I was to ask you, what is servitude? What is ibadah? You would say it is dhikr. And you would say it is salah. And you would say it is hajj. And you would say it is umrah. And the person at the back would say it is zakah. And everyone would have something in mind which they would use to define what ibadah is. But one scholar who lived in the 8th century, he beautifully says it. It is perhaps not the only definition of what ibadah is, but it is a very good definition. He says that ibadah is a comprehensive term for everything which Allah loves and is pleased with. Ibadah, the word ibadah, is a comprehensive term. It covers a lot. Everything which Allah loves and is pleased with. Now, if we use that definition and we applied it to the study of Islam, we begin to see a few beautiful things. Let me share with you a few ahadith. And hopefully through them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us a love for knowledge and increase that love in our hearts. Motivate us to want to study this beautiful deen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu an in the sahih of Imam Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَّلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ Whoever, and I want you to listen very carefully to this, because an excuse that many people have is they say, I am too old. Or they say, I don't have time for, you know, real in-depth study. Or they have a range of excuses. But listen to the hadith. Whoever travels a path, intends to study, right? مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا Whoever is on the path, you know, if you want to travel to South Africa, just to be on the plane, are you traveling to South Africa? You haven't reached yet. You haven't reached South Africa, but are you a traveler? Everyone agrees that you are a traveler. As soon as you get onto the plane in Colombo, you are now a traveler. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger is saying that whoever gets onto the path of seeking knowledge, يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا. He is searching for knowledge, looking for it, trying to find it. Did he find it? No. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not speaking about the goal, the end result. He's not speaking of that. He is speaking about the starting, the mere effort to seek knowledge. يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا. That person is making the effort. He is coming to gatherings like this. He is trying to study online. He is attending classes by the ulama of Sri Lanka, of the city. Maybe the imam of the masjid has a lesson after Fajr. That person is coming all the way, 20 minutes, 30 minutes away, 20 kilometers, and he drives or he rides or he walks to come to the masjid. And I'll share many stories with you inshallah ta'ala at the end of the lecture. But the person who is making the effort, the Prophet did not say that he is becoming a scholar. The Prophet did not say that he is becoming a student of knowledge, that he has proper understanding. That the Prophet did not say that he is memorizing. Man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi ilman. He's looking for the knowledge. He's only seeking it. Sahhalallahu lahu tariqan ila al-jannah. Allah will facilitate for that person his path to Jannah. But what is this person? Is he an alim? No, he's not an alim. Is he a student of knowledge? No, he's not a student of knowledge in the sense that he is not a full-time student of knowledge. That he has dedicated 7 or 8 or 20 years of his life to memorizing the Quran and memorizing Bukhari and Muslim. This is you and me making the effort to learn every single day. Every single day, we sit in the lessons of the ulama, we try to read as much as possible, we watch lectures online, we enroll ourselves in online courses, we try to learn as much as possible. We come to the imam of the masjid and we say, I do not know how to recite the Quran. Can I come to you after Fajr every morning and you will teach me how to read? The imam will say, inshallah, I will try 3 times a week, I'll sit with you. So you come and you try to learn. Wallahi, when I first started memorizing the Quran, I was 18 years old. And the school that I went to in Cape Town, there were students of all ages. And I, myself and another colleague, we were the eldest in the class. But there was this young boy, 8 years old, in the class. When I came there, I could not recite the Ayn properly. So when I got to the surah, وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبَحَا, I was saying وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبَحَا. So the sheikh said, no, it's not right. And I kept on saying it, وَالْعَادِيَاتِ. He said, no, it's وَالْعَادِيَاتِ. So I said, no, I can't say it. He said, okay, what I want you to do is, I want you to go and sit with Rafiq, and he will teach you, this 8-year-old boy, and he will teach you how to pronounce the Ayn. He will teach you how to pronounce the Ayn. So I went to him. Now, I'm 18 years old. He's 8 years old. Right? It was very tough for my ego for me to go and actually go and for this young, small boy to teach me how to recite Quran. Right? And to recite this particular letter in the Arabic language. But I went and I sat with him. So I'm saying, wal-ah. He's like, no. Wal-ah. 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 Right? And it went on like that for 3 or 4 days until finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted me the tawfiq to finally pronounce it, وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبَحَ. The point I want to make is that sometimes shaitan whispers to you and tells you, you're too old, or you don't have a good memory, or you're a sinner, why waste your time studying Islam? What will the people say? You don't even pray 5 times a day. Why do you want to learn? And someone else will, give you excuses. I remember when my grandmother, when I told her I want to memorize the Quran, she looked at me and she said, my grandson, there's no money in that. She was right. She was right. She was very right, actually. But that's not the point. The point is that shaitan will come to you in different forms and people will try to discourage you. But when you know the reward of studying, you don't allow any of that to deter you from your goal. Because the person who studies
Allah is making easy for him his path to Jannah. Think about that for a moment. You studying, you coming to the Imam of the Masjid to learn how to recite the Book of Allah. You coming to lessons like this. You coming to the Al-Kawthar course over the weekend. You going and coming to study overseas. You going online and studying online. All of this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitating for you your path to Jannah. And who would not want their path to Jannah facilitated? You know, if I told any of these young boys here, I knew a quick and easy way for you to pass all of your exams. I know a quick, see, he's smiling. I know a quick and easy way. You just do this and you will pass all of your exams. Would they not be interested? They would be interested. All of them would come to me afterwards. Sheikh, what's the secret? How do I pass all my exams? We know as Muslims and we believe that we will be tested in our graves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send two angels to us. And they will ask us three questions. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq to live the kind of lives that will enable us to answer those three questions correctly and quickly and easily. That's the first test. After this, we will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being held accountable for everything that we said and everything that we did. That's another examination. And then we will have to pass over the sirat, over Jahannam. Some of us will go like lightning, may Allah make us of those people. Some of us will go like the wind. Others will crawl over. And yet others will stumble and fall. May Allah protect us. So these are all these examinations, all these trials that are ahead of us. But when you study this deen, and when you put effort into studying it, Allah will facilitate for you your path to Jannah. Because with knowledge comes understanding. And with understanding comes practice. And with practice comes a closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A love for Allah and His obedience. A love to want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if the more you know, the more I know of those things which please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shall I not rush to do them? And the more I know of things which Allah is displeased with, which He hates and which He dislikes and which He has prohibited, will I not then stay away from those things? If I know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did things in a certain way, and Allah tells me that لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, that you have in the Messenger of Allah a beautiful example, shall I, the more I know of him, the more apparent that role model becomes. The more apparent that example becomes, I am now able to follow in that. Let me ask you a simple question. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to those companions that he was bidding farewell to, after they had spent many days with him in Medina, and they had studied the Quran with him, they had memorized a lot of the Quran, and they had learned and seen, you know, the adhan and the iqama and salah and many other things. The Prophet said to them, when he told them to leave, he saw that they were missing their families. And he said to them, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي, pray as you have seen me pray. Now how can we do that, you and me, if we have not studied the salah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Do you understand? If Ibn al-Jazari rahimahullah, he says, وَالْأَخْذُ بِالتَّجْوِيدِ حَكْمٌ لَازِمُ مَنْ لَمْ يُجَوِّدِ الْقُرْآنَ آثِمُ, that whoever, that reciting the Qur'an with tajweed is compulsory. And whoever does not recite it with tajweed is sinful. Because it is in this manner in which it is being taught by the ulama of tajweed and qira'ah and Qur'an, the way that it has been revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is very important. How then would we be able to recite? Wallahi, a beautiful thing about this deen is that the recitation that we have today, that the ulama of qira'at recite, they have taken from their teachers, who took it from their teachers, and that particular chain goes all the way back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Something to that, that is that not a legacy? Is that not heritage that you would like to take from? Imagine you could say, I recite the Quran as the Prophet recited it. Imagine. What an honor. That your Sheikh says to you, Ajaztu laka, I have given you ijaza to recite and teach this Quran as you have read it to me. As my teacher gave it to me and his teacher before him, all the way to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, if our study is going to be worship, the first thing that we need to understand is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it. The second thing we need to understand is that this religion, this deen, can only be practiced, can only be properly understood, and therefore can only be properly taught to others if the Muslims themselves are knowledgeable of this religion. If they take the study of this deen seriously, if it is something that they dedicate themselves to. If you look at the Sahaba, look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Compare yourself to the Prophet and compare yourself to his companions. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam starts his tahajjud. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Malik Yawm Al-Din. And he continues. He starts Surah Al-Baqarah and he reads. There's no ayah of mercy except that he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy. There is no ayah of punishment except that he seeks refuge from Allah from that particular punishment. He reads Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Al-Nisa and Surah Ali Imran and Surah Al-Ma'idah in one raka'ah. Why does he read like that? Aisha radiallahu anha, she sees that his feet are swollen. His feet are swollen and he's reading and it sounds like a kettle that is boiling. She wants to know, Ya Rasulullah, why do you do this to yourself when Allah has forgiven you all your sins? Listen to the words. أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Shall I not be a grateful slave? A grateful person is only that person that knows what to be grateful for. And the more you study your deen, the more you realize how much you have to be grateful for. Think about this. Wallahi, you look. I lived in India for 1 year. And I don't want to talk about all the details. But one of the things that affected me the most, one of the things that I am so grateful for, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided me to Islam. Every day I would walk and I would see the people commit shirk, asking other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making sujood and ruku' to other than Allah, giving offerings to other than Allah, slaughtering for other than Allah. And every day I would see this, and knowing tawheed, knowing its virtue, knowing its importance, I realized how lucky I am, or rather, how grateful I need to be. There isn't a ni'mah greater than this. And the more you study the Quran and the Sunnah, the more this particular ni'mah and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes very apparent to you. So knowledge, my dear brothers and sisters. The next issue is that not only will your path to Jannah be facilitated, not only will you achieve through knowledge, all of these things are like gratitude and sabr, because the more you know what awaits you in the year after, the more motivated you will be to try to achieve that. But think about this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Man da'a ila huda, that whoever calls to guidance, then for him is a reward similar to the reward of those who follow him. Ya Allah, think about it. Imagine for a moment. Or rather, let us not imagine. Let me give you a story from the time of the Sahaba. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, he's in a gathering and a man says to him, that how did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam perform his wudu? How did he do his wudu? Now, I could tell you, but this isn't the way. The best way to teach is to show. Are there any programmers here? Any people in IT? If you wanted to teach me something, are you in IT?
MashaAllah.
If you wanted to show me how to do something on a computer, what is better? For you to show me or for you to tell me? To show me, right? So Uthman radiallahu anhu says, bring me some water. So water is brought. A bucket is placed in front of him. And he begins to do his wudu as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did his wudu. Which means that every one of us who benefits from this, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, and the person who narrates this hadith, and the person who narrates it from the tabi'i, and the person who narrates it from that atba'u tabi'i, until the ulama who teach you how to perform the wudu of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, every time you do wudu like that, they will receive a reward equal to yours, without your reward being decreased in any way. Why will you not learn, O servant of Allah? Why will you not study this deed when this is the reward that you can gain for yourself? That boy who taught me how to recite an Ayn, every time I read the Quran and I pronounce the Ayn properly, for him is 10 good deeds. Every time I read, when I read the Salah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, 10 good deeds for me and 10 good deeds for Rafiq. That is the reward that waits for you, for all of us. If we study this deed and we teach it to others, why would you not? This is worship. This is why a man came to Imam Malik rahimahullah and said to him, that ya Imam, we do not see you reciting much of the Quran. We don't really see you doing a lot of sadaqat. We don't see you out on the battlefield. So Imam Malik rahimahullah said it very beautifully. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened different doors for different people. For you, Allah has opened up the door for salah, nafil salah. And for you, Allah has opened up the door of fasting. And for you, Allah has opened up the door of jihad. And for you, Allah has opened up the door of performing hajj every year. But for me, Allah has opened up for me the door of teaching the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Imam Malik rahimahullah is wise, because he knew. Look at, his book is still being taught today. Huh? The jihad of that man has ended when he died. The sadaqat of that man ended when he died. The fasting of that man ended when he died. But the knowledge of Imam Malik is still being taught today around the world. Whatever he has written, whatever he has taught, it is still being taught today. And for him is the reward every time someone studies it, learns it, and puts it into practice. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا مَاتَ بْنُ آدَمْ, if the son of Adam dies, meaning if you and I, when we die, إِنْ قَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ, that his good deeds, his deeds come to an end except for how many? For three. There are three things that will continue to benefit you, good deeds. So what are they? Sadaqatin jariyatin, continuous charity. The man who built this masjid, or the men who built this masjid, or women. Every time we pray here, they will get a reward even though they might have died many years ago. Sadaqatin jariyah. You built a well in a village somewhere, a borehole, and the people have good clean water there. Every time they drink from it, you will get the reward. If you planted fruit trees, wallahi, listen to this. This is beauty. This is the beauty of the deen. You planted one or two fruit trees in a garden somewhere, in a park. It provides shade for the people. It provides fruit for the people and for the animals, even the insects that eat from it. Every time something benefits from what you planted, for you is a charity. Sadaqatin jariyatin. Then, wa ilmin yuntafa'u bi, and knowledge which the people benefit from. Subhanallah. It was said to Imam Malik, they said to him, why are you writing another muwatta, whereas others have also written muwatta'at like yours? Why do you write a book? Many people have written books like you have written. So he said very beautifully, مَا كَانَ لِلَّهِ بَاقٍ, whatever is for the sake of Allah will remain. That is so true. Which means And this is just a side note, that whatever we teach, whatever we practice, must be done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't want to be like that man who comes to the masjid. Allahu Akbar. He's got a group of people sitting there. And he's, you know, beautifying his salah. He goes into ruku'. His ruku', his back is straight, mashaAllah. He's looking at the place of sujood. He comes up, Allahu Akbar. Beautiful. And the people start speaking. They say, look at that brother, mashaAllah. Look at his salah. Look at how beautifully he prays. It's as if we are seeing one of the Sahabis pray. And so this man, his intentions change. And he turns away from his original sincere intention. And in his salah, he turns to the people and he says, I'm also fasting today. Let us not become this person, my dear brothers and sisters. Let us not become the person who studies so that people might say, ah, an alim, mashaAllah, sheikh, you know, maulana, imam. Let us not, hafiz, all these titles that are given to people. You know, when people call me sheikh, I like to make this joke. It's very serious. But za'amatni shaykhan walastu bi shaykhin innama shaykhu man yadubbu dabibatan. She or they claim that I am a sheikh. I am no sheikh. A sheikh is that man who walks with a walking stick. In the Arabic language, a sheikh is an elderly man. So although I have a few grey hairs, I am no elderly man, alhamdulillah. Right? So titles mean nothing. They mean absolutely nothing. If firstly there is no sincerity, there's no active practice of what you know and teaching it to others. Wallahi, when I went to study in Medina, we were 17 people. 17 people from South Africa that were accepted. 17. 17 people. That's a lot of people, right? 17 young men being chosen to go and study at the Islamic University of Medina. Do you know how many of them graduated? 4. 4 out of how many? 17. Do you know how many of them are active in da'wah today? Who have dedicated themselves completely only to teaching deen? Although I must be fair, our other brother, he is busy, but you know, he spends most of his time with something else, right? So 2 out of 17, what happened? Or 3 out of 17, what happened to the others? This is when you realize how you have to know that this is going to take time, but it's also going to take sincerity. It's going to take real commitment from you. And wallahi, many people, shaitan whispers to them and tells them that, you know, you won't be able to memorize the whole Quran. You want to study Arabic? You know, don't bother. It will take you 20 years to master it. That's the reality. When you know, and I want you to listen very carefully to this, when you know that studying is worship, when you know that studying is what Allah loves, it doesn't matter how long it takes, because you want to stay on the path for as long as possible. Does it matter? Does it matter? I've been studying since 1999. And the more I study, wallahi, to be honest, the more I want to study. The more I want to read, the more lectures I want to listen to. And the more I want to teach, have classes like these, and you know, classes back home in Cape Town in South Africa, and going overseas, alhamdulillah, Allah's blessed me, I get to travel. You know, although I don't know if I'm worthy of that, but I get to travel anyway. But there needs to be this commitment, that when you know that this is worship, that me sitting right here and speaking to you about Allah and His Messenger, and about this deen, that I will be rewarded inshaAllah ta'ala, that must motivate me to want to do more. As long as you are on the path, Allah will facilitate for you your path to Jannah. So my dear brothers and sisters, it was a lot that I wanted to discuss with you tonight. But inshaAllah ta'ala, perhaps another time when you come to South Africa or I come to Sri Lanka again, we can take this further. But there are a few things I want to share with you, a few very good books that are available that speaks about knowledge, and also very, very good lectures that speak about the virtues of knowledge. Firstly, I just saw in the masjid when I came from Maghrib that there is Riyadu Salihin on the bookshelf over there. Many of you perhaps do not live in this area, you don't come to this masjid every day, but maybe you have Riyadu Salihin in your local masjid or you have it at home. I want you to go to the chapter, the book of knowledge, the book of knowledge in Riyadu Salihin. And I want you to read those ahadith which I did not share with you tonight. Those ahadith which I have not shared with you tonight. And alhamdulillah, there are explanations online, you know, of this particular chapter that you can avail yourselves of. There's also a very good book that I want you all to read. It's a booklet. It's called Etiquette of Seeking Knowledge by Sheikh Bakr Abu Zaid. The Etiquette of Seeking Knowledge. It's a very small book, but very beneficial inshaAllah. It's not only speaking about the virtues and the greatness of seeking knowledge, but also how to seek knowledge, which is very, very important. The first thing that you need to do, the first two things that I want you to concentrate on, that I want to leave you with tonight, is to learn Arabic and to learn the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do them together. Strive as much as you can to learn the language of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the language of the Quran, and learn the Quran itself. Know its meanings, understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is guiding you to, so that we might be affected like the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were also affected. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us an understanding of our deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause the love of seeking knowledge to enter our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause it to grow, you know, every single day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us beneficial knowledge and righteous action. And may Allah, as He has gathered us all here today, gather us again in the company of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannatul Firdaus. May Allah make us of those who will drink from His pond on the day of Qiyamah. Jazakumullahu khayran, wa barakallahu fikum, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I don't know if we're going to have questions and answers, but maybe just a few, one or two. On the topic, of course. On the topic, you know, I'm no mufti. You know, ask the local ulama for the fatwa, inshallah. Like, Sheikh, can I marry another wife? No, don't ask me. I don't know. You know, ask the local ulama. You know? Any questions? No questions? MashaAllah. Brilliant. Nothing? Okay, then we'll end with that, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.